And thank you for the admonition from Jeremiah this morning in tradition. And may the remembrance of the Lord be a good tradition, but not just a tradition. May it be a heart's response to Him. So greetings again from Pembroke, Ontario. I'm still sitting in the only room, I believe, in the building now that has not been completely gutted. They allowed me to keep this room to Zoom from this morning, but as tomorrow morning, this room will be disassembled and all the books and furniture and carpets and everything will be taken out because most of you or many of you know that we have a mold problem in the building. And so everything is being removed. So this probably for a while will be my last time to Zoom with you from here. We'll find another corner, or maybe we'll be back in this room, but we won't have these books and shelves and things. So thank you for praying for us. It's a big undertaking, and there's a big renovation job being done right now. However, let's get on with why we are here today, and that is to continue a little series of messages called The Marks of a Healthy Assembly. And we have already looked at two previous characteristics or marks of a healthy assembly. The first one being, and I think this probably should be the first on the list if we're trying to make a list or order of things. The first one being the assembly needs to love the Lord and to be obedient to His word. We talked about that. We talked about love being a word of action, not just words from our mouth. And then last week, we talked about another characteristic or mark of a healthy assembly is an assembly that has elders that lead by example and not lord or command or be the bosses of the flock. So we shortened that to say elders that lead and not lord over the flock. And some of you may have thought last week, well, he's pretty hard on the elders. What's going to happen when it comes to us? Well, that's today for you. And the next point, the marks of a healthy assembly is a church that follows and not fight. An assembly that is willing to submit to those in authority over them. And dear friends, if you think being an overseer, an elder in a local assembly is hard, let me say, equally so is it to submit to those in authority over you. This is a great struggle through the centuries. When the Lord tries to describe what happened to mankind after the fall, He says they're like sheep that go astray. Everyone goes to his own way. None of us want to be told. None of us want to have to follow someone else. As we'd say in Mississippi, you're just as independent as a hog on ice. Some of you will figure that out or Google that later. I'm not sure if you get it. But nevertheless, you just, we don't like to be told. We don't like to submit. But if you're going to have a healthy assembly, you got to get this one under your belt. And we're going to talk about this one today. That is an assembly that follows the example of their elders. Now, a little story to set the stage just a bit. There was a log builder who made log homes, and he used the round logs, and he had several pieces of equipment to be able to lift these logs and place them in certain strategic places on the building site. And one day his son, his young son, just a boy, was with him on the site. And he was working alone with a piece of equipment that could pick these logs up and set them on the building. And in the process of doing that, the kid was just playing around and not paying a lot of attention to what he was doing. And the father picked up one of these huge, big logs. And when he did, he realized that the pile of logs that he had picked this one up from began to move ever so slightly. And he perceived that in a moment of time, this pile of logs was about to move significantly to the point that his son's life was in danger. Having no time to do anything except shout a command to his son above the noise of the equipment, he said to his son, "Run right now, run." That's all he could say. That boy ran. He didn't turn around and say, "Why should I run?" He didn't turn around and say, "But I don't want to run." Just the voice, the commanding voice of his father. "Run, son, run right now." And the boy took off. And the logs gave way. And you can only imagine these huge long logs, big around, tumbling down to the ground. But he was far away from danger by then in his life, or at least an injury was spared. By what? Simple obedience. That's all it was. Nothing else. He didn't understand it. He didn't realize he was in danger. He didn't know why the father had told him that. But evidently, the father had taught the son to be obedient. And that day, his life was spared. Now, let's go to some text. And I want to help you understand that elders, overseers, shepherds, they don't stand on top of the flock with a whip or a rod and beat the sheep into obedience. Their very lives and the way they set the example to the flock demand respect and obedience. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews and chapter 13. Just two passages, two verses here. Hebrews chapter 13. First of all, in verse 7, Hebrews 13 and verse 7, we're under the heading of a healthy church needs to have the characteristic of assembly that is willing to follow the shepherds, the elders. Verse 7, Hebrews 13, remember those who rule, notice the language, who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. I think most Bible teachers and commentaries agree that the last part of that verse perhaps suggests that those men are gone by now. They have lived out their lives, they have served the Lord, and the end of their conduct or the outcome of their conduct is that they have already gone to be with the Lord. Nevertheless, there's several things here. We are to remember them. Now, you've just spent a considerable amount of time corporately in the assembly building physically and on Zoom to remember the Lord. So we know what that's about. You think about the person, you think about their life. Many times, even at a funeral, they'll have a eulogy, they call it, where they reminisce about the person's life. Or sometimes they'll have a memorial service where several people may give encounters of that they've had with the deceased and how they live their life and the characteristics, and you're remembering them. That's what you're doing. So here the admonition is, remember those who rule over you, all right? Your church leaders, as we would know them to be shepherds, overseers, bishops, elders. These are the names of the one job, the one responsibility, shepherding the flock, who rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. But here's the point I want to make in the verse. Whose faith follow. You didn't say whose faults follow. It says whose faith follow. All of us have feet of clay. Your elders are no different. They are saved by grace. They live by grace. They've taken on a huge responsibility because the Spirit of God has chosen them to do the work of an overseer. They will not be perfect in their work, but God has chosen them to do that work. They all have strengths and they all have weaknesses. The admonishment here is whose faith follow. It's like the Apostle Paul saying, follow me as I follow the Lord. Don't follow me as I follow myself. Don't follow me as I follow the world. Don't follow me as I follow the Lord. And for those of us who are under the authority of those over us in the Lord's work, we're to follow their faith. We are to remember, if you go back to chapter 11, same book, Hall of Fame of Faith, with the exception of very few, you can dig up enough dirt on the rest of those people mentioned there that you'd go, oh my, I'm not sure they had that good of faith. Well, God thought they did. He put them down in the eternal word of God and said they're men and women of faith. That's what God said. And so don't hold your elders to any higher standard than you hold yourself. You criticize them about something, turn around and look in the mirror. And where they follow the Lord, where they give the example, where they surrender, where they are obedient to the Lord, you follow that. Oh, you might not even like them. That's okay. You follow them. You follow their faith. And it goes on to say, consider the end. I had a friend of mine who died when he was 38. I took his funeral. And he was kind of a rough guy, kind of like John the Baptist, I think, in many ways. Not the easiest guy to be around, but given to the things of God uncompromisingly. And you should have been there at the funeral. I never heard such good things said about him at the funeral. In real life, people wondered, well, you know, I don't know. Boy, when he came to the funeral, that was great. And I said, you know, maybe it's not so bad. You're not a saint till you die. In other words, listen, isn't it amazing how you can have problems with a person when they're living, but when they're dead, you go, boy, they were great people, you know. Here's the point. Remember the good things of their life. now. Follow their faith. Follow their example. Follow their obedience. Follow their submission to the things of the Lord. Oh, there's things in all of our lives. I don't want people to follow me in some areas of my life. I'm working on it. I'm trying to do better. But then the things of God and the things of faith, you follow them. Then same chapter, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. That little phrase, rule over you, appears again. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Those are two words that I said in my introduction. We don't like obedience and submission. Obedience is just, we sing the song, O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. That's to God. God says, here's my word, and I want you to follow it. I want you to obey it. And the little song says, okay, obedience is the very best way to show that I believe God. Well, let me tell you a great way to show your elders that you're ready to follow their faith. Obey them. Now, let's just clear the board. They ever ask you to do anything unbiblical, ungodly, immoral, you don't obey them. Of course you don't. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about elders walking in the light, walking with the Lord under the authority of the great shepherd, these under shepherds, then you obey them. They're the ones that have spoken to you the word of God. So here's these two words, obey and submit. Quit resisting. Give in, give way, yield over. Do you think you know better? Well, listen, say, I got a problem. I don't think they've got the right, I don't think they made the right decision. I don't, whatever. You think they're wrong. They are open. Go talk to them. Last thing you want to do, start spreading gossip. A lot of times, elders are trying to keep the flock from being overly stressed out. And so there are some things they need to keep confidential. Trust them with that. They're godly men. They love the Lord. They're doing what they can. If you need to talk to them, then you need to go. You need to say, I need a meeting. Don't talk to other people about it. Go and talk to them about it. And I'm sure in most cases, things can be settled in a private conversation. Obey them, submit for them. Then we're told the reason why, at least in this verse, you need to submit. Look at it. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. What kind of testimony do you have as far as the elders are concerned? You know, let's suppose the elders are having a meeting, an elders meeting, an oversight meeting. And your name, your family comes up for discussion. What do you think their testimony is of you? Would they say, oh my, I wish I had a whole church full of those kind of people. I mean, they do everything they can. They're the first ones here, the last ones to leave. They'll do anything from a little job to a big job. We don't even have to ask them. They're always one step ahead of us. Could we do this? Could we do that? They don't sow discord. They sow peace among the brethren. I mean, is that the testimony that you have, your family has? Okay. Or suppose it went something like this. Your name comes up or your family name comes up and the oversight have to say, oh my, I don't know what we're going to do with that person. They block us on every hand. They criticize us every chance they get. They will not talk to us. They will not obey. They will not submit. We call them, we visit them, we take them by the hand. They don't want us to visit. They don't want us to call. They don't want us to, I don't know what we're going to do with them. Well, you will notice that they watch for your soul. Number one, you'll notice something else. They must give an account. Now we're going to all give account, folks. We're going to all give an account. I'm going to give an account to myself. You're going to give an account for yourself. But the elders in the local assembly are going to give an account to God for you. Now, the admonition is, oh, that they could do that with joy and say, Lord, these are such lovely sheep we have. These people are so nice. We're all learning. None of us are perfect, Lord, but we're working together. We're walking together. We're enjoying the Lord. We're growing in our faith. That they might do that, give that account with joy and not with grief. Oh, Lord, what will we do with these people? Because that's not profitable for you. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're talking about an assembly that follows and not fight. Willing to obey, willing to submit, not anything stupid, not anything wrong, not anything unbiblical, but just don't want to submit or obey. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are, look at these words again, over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. I was visiting, for most of my life, I've been a traveling preacher. And it's amazing. The questions you get asked or the information you get exposed to sometime when you go. This lady, I didn't ask her any question. Afterwards, she came to me after a meeting. She said, I've been in this assembly for 12 years, and the elders have never been in my home. I said, you ought to be embarrassed about that. You call them and invite them for supper tonight, I said. This thing works both ways. We criticize our elders for not visiting us enough, but we've never invited them. Did you ever think you could do that? Did you ever think you could call your elders? Did you ever think that you could minister to your elders? Look at this. Recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Listen, there is a sense in which these men are pouring out their lives, and we kind of just sit around and say, well, I don't know if I want to do that or not. You need to be praying for your elders. You need to be encouraging your elders, not resisting, not fighting, not whose faults follow, and they got them, and you do too, and so do I, but whose faith follow. I mean, imagine if you had an assembly of people who said, we got the best elders in this town. We got the best elders in this country. We love our elders. We esteem our elders. We recognize our elders. We love our elders. We can't do enough for our elders. Imagine that. Imagine how that would change the whole complexity, the whole environment. Instead of sneaking around, I wonder why they did this. I don't know. Do you know? No, I don't know. My goodness, folks, this is not rocket science. Recognize them. They labor. They're over you. They admonish you. Esteem them very highly. Lift them up. Listen, we're not talking about following men, except following men as they follow the Lord. We're not talking about exalting a few people, putting a spotlight on them and saying, oh, you know, if it wasn't for them, they are under shepherds. This is God's order. Esteem them very highly. Notice, in love for what? Their works' sake. Ah. Here are shepherds that are working themselves to death. Here are overseers who are spending time and hours and energy. I mean, listen, you might think your elders don't do much. I'd like for you to walk with them for a week. Oh, they can't take you everywhere because a lot of it's confidential. The hours on the phone, the hours on email, the hours in counseling, the hours and hours. Come on. I've said for years, and I still say it, a man would have to be an absolute fool to want to be an elder unless God called him. It's all work, no play. It's all work, no recognition. It's all work, and they got the big problem. If it wasn't for our elders, you know. Well, come on, give your head a shake. God moves elders like checkers on a checkerboard. He can get rid of them if he wants to. And so recognize them, admonish them, esteem them for their work's sake. And then the last part of that verse says, be at peace among yourselves. Because the next verse says, look out for the ones that are not at peace. That's for another day. I'm not getting into that, but there's a lot of people, and we don't want to encourage backbiting, gossiping, undermining, sowing discord. Pray for your elders, encourage your elders, invite your elders, give them a call, write them a letter, send them a text, email. And listen, if anybody needs encouragement, it's your elders. Our time is gone, but let me just say there is order in the church. If you're taking notes, write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. There's order in the church because there's order in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, the man, the woman. There's order in the home, head of the home. Wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church. These are high things, but there's order. You have shepherds, overseers. You got deacons, and you got the flock. There's order. You can't say, who cares? You're right back in the book of Judges. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. God always has order. It doesn't necessarily mean that those above you are more spiritual than you. Doesn't necessarily mean that. But this is order. Order in the Godhead. Jesus is not inferior to God, but he's under the authority of God. The woman is not inferior to the man, but the woman is to be under submission to the man. And the elders are to be respected and recognized and esteemed for their work's sake. Much more could be said. Our time is up. And we will continue on as the Lord gives us opportunity. Dear flock and dear elders, we thank God upon every remembrance of you. Let's pray. Father, please, in thy mercy, promote peace among the flock. May they recognize those in authority and rule over them. May they encourage them. May they follow them as they follow the Lord. May they follow their faith May the assembly encourage one another in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.